Who is it?
I've been searching for you. You're the love of my life. Please marry me.
About time.
Fellas, welcome back to the channel. In today's story, we dive into a tale of regret and missed opportunities. A woman who repeatedly friend-zoned a guy now finds herself full of regret as he finally moves on and into a better life without her. What happened to make her rethink her choices, and how did he flip the script? Stay tuned, hit that like button, and let's get into it. Don't forget to subscribe for more stories like this one.
Ladies, we should not be getting married to anyone that we were attracted to before our frontal lobe developed, because I look back and I'm like, jump scare.
So she's out here advising women not to get married to anyone they're attracted to before their frontal lobe develops. And honestly, that's rich coming from a crowd that spends their early 20s chasing bad boys and ignoring good men entirely. Let's be real. This isn't about neuroscience. It's about dodging accountability for their own bad choices. The whole frontal lobe excuse is just another way to shift the blame. It's not your brain's fault that you prioritized excitement over stability or drama over commitment. It's not some underdeveloped part of your mind telling you to ghost the nice guy and chase the emotionally unavailable one. That's all on you. Here's the kicker. The guys these women are attracted to before their so-called frontal lobe development are the same ones they regret later. You know the type: flashy, unreliable, and emotionally immature. But instead of owning up to those mistakes, they'll turn around and say, "Oh, I was too young to know better." Really? Because plenty of women manage to make solid, responsible choices in their early 20s. The truth is, the whole frontal lobe argument is just a cop-out to avoid admitting they overlooked good men for years. And by the time they're done developing, the guys they should have valued have moved on or stopped playing the game entirely. Here's the deal. Attraction is part of any healthy relationship, but so is accountability. If you keep picking partners who are all red flags and no substance, don't blame your brain. Blame your inability to prioritize what actually matters in a long-term relationship. Ladies, the problem isn't your frontal lobe. The problem is ignoring quality men in favor of thrill and then wondering why it doesn't work out. Maybe it's time to stop waiting for brain development and start reevaluating your choices. Just a thought.
One of the main reasons that I think a lot of men feel isolated in the dating world is because they were told that being attractive comes down to money, your job, how you physically look in terms of being masculine. And I'm not saying women wouldn't find those things attractive. However, I have coached thousands of clients, and the one thing women always go back to is connecting emotionally with men. That is how they feel safe, secure, and find very attractive.
Here's the thing. Women out here talking about how they want an emotional connection, but let's be real. They only seem to get emotionally attached if you're tall, fit, and stacking cash. That's not emotional connection. That's just hypergamy dressed up as romance. Women love to say, "I just want a guy who understands me," but somehow, the guy who understands them is always 6'3", looks like he walked out of a fitness magazine, and has a six-figure income. Funny how that works, huh? It's almost like emotional connection only kicks in once you check all the superficial boxes. And let's not pretend this is new. Women will ghost a guy with genuine intentions because he's 5'9" or working a regular 9-to-5. Meanwhile, they'll chase the dude who barely texts back because he's got the look or drives the right car. Then, when that guy doesn't commit, it's all, "Men are trash," or "He just couldn't handle me." No, sis, you picked wrong. Again, here's the irony. The same women who say, "Where are all the good men?" are the ones skipping over good men every day. Why? Because they're too busy measuring height and bank accounts instead of character and effort. The emotional connection they claim to want? That's just a smokescreen. If a guy doesn't meet their superficial standards, they don't even stick around long enough to see if there's a connection. But here's where it gets even messier. Women will gaslight men into thinking it's their fault for not being enough, not tall enough, not rich enough, not exciting enough. Meanwhile, they're out here swiping through dating apps like it's Black Friday, looking for the next upgrade. And when it all falls apart, suddenly, it's society's fault for raising men wrong. Let's call it what it is. Emotional connection isn't the priority for most women. It's the reward they give after you meet their shallow criteria. If you're not tall, ripped, and wealthy, They won't even give you the time of day, let alone open up emotionally. And that's fine. People are allowed to have preferences. But let's not pretend it's about emotional depth when it's clearly about appearances and status. Fellas, don't let this game mess with your head. The women who genuinely value emotional connection, they won't care about your height or your income. They'll care about how you treat them and who you are as a person. The rest? They're just out here chasing fantasies and Instagram aesthetics. Let them. Focus on the ones who see your worth beyond the surface. Because the truth? Emotional connection is a two-way street. It's not a prize you win for being tall and rich.
The reason why I think it's so important for a man to bring value to a woman's life is because the world is designed for women to be single. There's more for us to get out of life if we're single. Things start becoming free. We start getting invited to like a million different things. People want to take care of you as a woman. They want to invite you to parties. They want to invite you to events. And so when a woman locks herself down with a man, she is closing off a lot of opportunities to be with him. And if he's not providing a value to her, or at least matching like what she would have been losing out on, then being with him is a loss. Like, she's taking a loss to be with him. You guys know I was in a relationship like pretty much all of last year. And obviously when you're in a relationship, you're loyal, you're not meeting new people, you're not like taking the opportunities that are being presented to you, like free things that are being presented to you. But now I'm single and like, obviously the same opportunities and better are being presented to me. Now I'm actually taking them. And I'm just reflecting on the last year and thinking about how much I missed out on while being with this person. Not that I regret it and not that I would do anything differently. Like, I love this person very dearly. So like, obviously like that was the choice I wanted to make. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. But for someone new to come into my life, they have to somewhat match that level of like, the life that I'm living right now while I'm single and all the things that I'm getting, all the dinners that are getting paid for, that sort of stuff. So if he can't even match that, like, why would I give up what I have now, like all these opportunities for somebody that's like not even measuring up? Sorry if that's harsh.
She's out here saying a man has to provide value to a woman that outweighs what she gets from being single. Let's break this down. Because what she's really saying is that a man is only worth keeping around if he's a walking ATM, a personal handyman, or a therapist on speed dial. Provide value? Sis, are men applying for a job or trying to build a relationship? When did dating turn into a corporate transaction where men are treated as utilities rather than human beings? The audacity to reduce a man's worth to how much he can outweigh the joys of your solo Netflix marathons and brunch dates with your girls is just wild. Let's not act like this is some deep philosophy, either. This mindset screams entitlement. Instead of focusing on mutual growth, respect, and love, it's all about what the man can do for her. It's not about compatibility, shared values, or emotional support. It's about how much he can outperform her single life. And if that's the metric, guess what? She's already lost the plot. Here's the reality. A relationship isn't a one-way street. If all you're looking for is someone to outvalue your single life, then you're not looking for a partner. You're looking for a sponsor. Men aren't utilities, accessories, or upgrades to your lifestyle. They're human beings who deserve the same level of effort and respect they're expected to give. And let's not pretend this is just about high standards. It's about unrealistic, one-sided standards. She wants him to provide value, but what is she bringing to the table? Because if her answer is, I am the table, then that's just another way of saying she's bringing nothing but expectations. The truth is, relationships thrive on reciprocity. If you're treating a man like a tool to enhance your life rather than a partner to share it with, don't be surprised when men stop showing up. Because real men aren't utilities, they're people. And the moment they realize they're being reduced to what they can provide rather than who they are, they'll walk away. So, ladies, if you're out here talking about a man needing to outweigh your single life, ask yourself this. Are you offering the same value you're demanding? If not, maybe it's time to reevaluate what you're bringing to the relationship. Because the truth? Men aren't here to compete with your independence. They're here to build something meaningful with someone who values them for more than what they can give.
I'm not going to hold your hand when I say this because some of y'all need to use a little bit more soap than you already do. But that billionaire is not gonna marry you. I don't know where the fuck everybody's getting these delusional dreams of, oh, if this doesn't work out, I'm just gonna marry rich. Bitch, he wouldn't even fucking look at you. You're dumb as fuck. You are dumb as fuck. You are. You're on the verge of failing your classes. You have nothing to offer. Like, I'm sorry. Please check the Forbes list and please check their partners. All of them are of high status. All of them are well-educated and well-read. What the fuck? He don't want your fucking ass.
Here's the thing. She's out here saying some women are delusional and think they're going to marry rich. And honestly, she's not wrong. But let's dig into this because it's a whole vibe of entitlement that's worth unpacking. First off, let's call it what it is, a fantasy. There's a whole generation of women thinking they're just one latte away from bumping into a billionaire who's going to sweep them off their feet and hand them a black card. Sis, this isn't a Hallmark movie, it's reality. And in reality, rich men aren't out here looking for women who bring nothing but manifestation energy to the table. The delusion starts when women confuse lifestyle with effort. They see the designer bags, the luxury vacations, and the champagne brunches on Instagram, and suddenly, they think that's their birthright. But here's the plot twist. The men funding those lifestyles aren't lining up for the women scrolling TikTok and posting soft girl Arab captions. Let's talk numbers for a second. The percentage of men who are actually rich is tiny, like microscopic. And out of that small pool, what makes these women think they're the ones getting picked? Because let's be real, those men aren't just looking for a pretty face or someone who can spend their money. They're looking for someone who adds actual value to their lives. But here's where it gets funny. A lot of these women have no plan. None. They don't want to work, they don't want to build, and they definitely don't want to grow. They just want to exist and be chosen. It's the Cinderella effect, waiting for Prince Charming without putting in any effort to be the kind of woman a high-value man would actually want. The irony? The same women dreaming about marrying rich are the ones who turn their noses up at the hardworking, middle-class men who would actually treat them right. They want wealth without work, status without sacrifice, and love without effort. And when it doesn't happen, it's suddenly men are the problem. No, sis, the problem is the delusion. Here's the truth. If you're banking on marrying rich, you better be bringing more than just good vibes and a selfie game to the table. High-value men want high-value women. Women with ambition, character, and the ability to contribute to a partnership. The ones who think they can just show up and get chosen, they're in for a rude awakening.
The ideal scenario to me was, and this is what happened, was to be in a place of maybe not complete, let's call it like 95% contentment with myself and with being alone and hanging out alone and having a space to myself. And that really changes the filter of looking at men, right? Because if I'm great
alone,
you're
not desperate.
Totally. And also, you need to be adding to my very happy 95% in order to enter into this world. Like, I'm not at 25. I don't need you, you know? And I think people also feel that energy when you're dating.
You have to have something else, like whether it's a job, something you're passionate about, mm-hmm. a good community of friends, family, because that one man is not going to be your whole world. Your cup has different levels. The man is a small percentage of it. The rest is passion, what you do, your family, like, you know, it's everything in one. Then you kind of feel full.
No man will ever have a successful relationship with a woman who's 95% sure she doesn't need or want him in her life. And honestly, why would he? Let's break this down because it's not as empowering as some women like to make it sound. If a woman is walking into one with the mindset that she's already got everything figured out and a man is just an optional accessory, then what's even the point? Nobody wants to feel like they're constantly auditioning to prove their worth in someone else's life. Here's the kicker. That I don't need a man energy doesn't come off as strong and independent. It comes off as dismissive and unapproachable. Men aren't out here asking to be needed in a desperate way. They're looking to feel valued, respected, and wanted. There's a difference between being independent and being so hyper-independent that you shut people out entirely. And let's be honest, the whole I don't need a man vibe is usually rooted in past hurt or bitterness. It's like a preemptive wall built to avoid vulnerability or rejection. But here's the truth. If you're 95% sure you don't want or need a man, then you're not ready for a relationship, period. Relationships thrive on reciprocity, not one person acting like they're doing the other a favor by sticking around. The sad part? The men who would have treated her right aren't going to waste their time trying to convince her of their value. Why? Because self-respecting men don't want to be with someone who constantly makes them feel like an afterthought. They'll take one look at that energy and bounce. Because who wants to invest in someone who's already half out the door? The truth is, a relationship isn't about needing someone in a survival sense. It's about choosing someone. Choosing to share your life, grow together, and be vulnerable. If a woman can't even open herself up to the idea of genuinely wanting a man in her life, then she's blocking her own blessings. So, if you're 95% sure you don't need a man, here's my advice. Stay single. Because no man, no matter how good, kind, or patient, deserves to be in a relationship where he's treated like an option instead of a priority. Relationships are built on mutual effort, not one person acting like they're doing the other a favor just by showing up.
One thing I've learned about men throughout my life is the vast majority of men are insecure. Even the best looking men have insecurities. And I'm going to speak on the collective of Black men the most, because when I think about the times that I've been insulted and just downright degraded, just for existing, it's never been by a man who wasn't Black. It was never a white, a Hispanic, or an Asian man. It has only been Black men in my own personal experience. So that's who I'm going to speak on today. I'm going to try to be really careful how I say this, because I know that most Black women, they either adore Black men or they're afraid of Black men, and I am neither. So that is the reason why I can speak as freely as I can. And so I'm not saying that Black women should start doing exactly what I do, but you need to find a way to humble these dudes when they are in your presence. A lot of Black men, because of their insecurities and because they're not sure if they can have you or not, they will say little things to try to get a reaction out of you. So instead of saying, "How you doing, ma'am? You look lovely today," they'll say things like, "How you doing, ma'am? Well, I could tell that a lot of men try to hit on you. You must think you all that, huh?" Have y'all ever had that happen to you? I've had that happen to me many times. Like, I'll be at a gas station pumping my gas, minding my business, and then a Tyrone, two pumps down, will start walking towards me and say something like, "Oh, I can tell what type of woman you are. You don't even know me, sir. I'm over here pumping gas, minding my business. But because you're attracted to me and you're not sure if I would feel the same about you, you feel the need to try and humble me." Just within the past 2 weeks, I have humbled two dudes. One was over 6 feet. The other one was under 6 feet. The one who was over 6 feet tall had this attitude of, "Oh, I know I can get you because I'm tall." And so when we were in the middle of a conversation, I literally told him, "I don't date men over 6 feet. So you can calm down, sir." The look on his face was priceless. All that arrogance, it got lower and lower and lower. The other young man, I simply reminded him that he was under 6 feet tall when we were having a conversation. Once again, his arrogance got lower and lower and lower. I'm the right fucking one. Their whole countenance changed when they realized that you're not dealing with a woman whose face you're going to sit in front of and think that you're going to tear me down by making little comments and think that I'm not going to bring it back to you. I'm going to get that shit right back. And after that, the conversation with both of these men went great. We had a lovely conversation after that. So I need Black women for 2025 to stop sitting in front of Black men and allowing them to tear you down, allowing them to say certain things that they already know is going to make you feel some type of way about yourself. Either y'all need to get up and walk away, or y'all need to bring that same energy back to them. It is a control thing in our community. That is how a lot of Black men control Black women. And they start by using your self-esteem against you. And that shit needs to stop. Because a lot of these dudes that are sitting in your face, talking about your weave, talking about your nails, talking about your wig, never even graduated from high school. Credit score fucked up. Been to jail 2 and 3 times already. Got a criminal record. Okay? Still living in their grandmother's basement. I need y'all to start reminding them of that. If he's tall, tell him he's not tall enough. If he's too short, tell him he's not tall enough. We can play that game, and we can play it all goddamn day. So, Black women, this is just something that I want y'all to really think about, how you're going to better shift these conversations and stop allowing men that don't even know you, men that you just met, men that's trying to holler at you, to turn around and insult you at the same time. Y'all got to stop allowing that. I don't allow that shit over here. So I want y'all to think about that for 2025. All right?
When she says the vast majority of men are insecure, what she's really doing is projecting her own insecurities onto others. Let's be clear. Labeling men as insecure has become a convenient way for some women to avoid accountability for their own behavior. The truth is, a lot of these women who scream insecure the loudest are the ones who have the most to hide. They'll call a man insecure for setting boundaries, for asking questions, or for simply wanting clarity in a relationship. Why? Because it's easier to slap the insecure label on him than to admit they might actually be doing something wrong. For example, if a man expresses concern about her constantly posting thirst traps or keeping her exes in the picture, suddenly, he's the problem. It's not about trust anymore. It's about how he's insecure. But here's the kicker. If the roles were reversed, you can bet she'd have an issue with him doing the exact same things. This narrative has gotten out of hand. Men aren't insecure for wanting respect in a relationship. They're not insecure for expecting loyalty or for asking questions when things don't add up. But instead of addressing those concerns with maturity, some women deflect and weaponize the insecure label to shut the conversation down. Here's the irony. The women who are quick to call men insecure are often the same ones who need constant validation themselves. They're addicted to attention from random guys online, they can't handle constructive criticism, and they crumble the moment they're not being praised. If anyone's insecure in these situations, it's not the man. It's them. At the end of the day, men aren't asking for the world. They just want honesty, respect, and mutual effort. If pointing that out makes them insecure, then maybe the problem isn't the men. It's the women who don't want to face the truth about their own actions. So let's stop throwing the word insecure around as a cheap way to dodge accountability. It's time for some self-reflection instead.
Someone commented on my other video, like, why does he see more women make videos about, like, how single life is such a struggle and it's hard for them, and he doesn't see a lot of men making those types of videos? And in my opinion, there are more women looking to settle down, looking for something serious. And I feel like the majority of men are not looking for those type of things, which is why there's an imbalance in the dating pool. We have all these women like, I want my husband. I want to get married. I want to be a mom. I want to, you know, lock it down. And then the men in the pool are like, nah, I'm not trying to do that. Like, I'm still trying to be outside. I want to date multiple people, or they're just looking to hook up. They want to have a situationship. So it's no balance. So you see a lot of women complaining that the men in the dating pool, they're not attracting the type of men that they're looking for, because men are not looking for anything serious. That's just my opinion. And with that, because guys aren't looking for anything serious, they have tons of options. So why, I'm not looking for anything serious. You are. I'm not going to change my ways to settle down with you when there's all these other women that I could pick from. So you're not seeing a lot of men complain about being single or dating sucks for them, because they're actually having a good time being single, because they're not looking to settle down. Most of them aren't, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Y'all let me know. Why do you think men are having more success in being single and dating than women are?
She's asking why men don't complain about dating. But here's the thing. Life as a man is always a struggle. That's the unspoken reality. If we complain, we're labeled sassy or weak. If we stay quiet and push through, we're told we're not emotionally available or ready to settle down. It's a lose-lose situation. The truth is, men are conditioned to keep their struggles to themselves. Society doesn't exactly roll out the red carpet for men who open up. If we voice our frustrations about dating or relationships, it's immediately dismissed, or worse, weaponized against us. The narrative becomes, oh, you're just bitter, or maybe you're the problem, so why bother? Men don't complain because, frankly, most of the time, no one's listening. While women have entire platforms, communities, and movements to discuss their dating struggles, men are expected to just deal with it. You think a guy can hop online and talk about being ghosted, cheated on, or constantly rejected? No shot. He'd be mocked or told to man up. And let's not ignore how high the expectations are for men in the dating world. Be successful, be attractive, be emotionally available, but not too emotional, have a great personality, but also stay mysterious. And on top of all that, pay for everything and take rejection gracefully. It's exhausting. And if we dare to express how one-sided it can feel, we're told we're not good enough or that we just don't try hard enough. So no, we're not out here complaining. Not because we're fine with it, but because we've learned that complaining doesn't get us anywhere. Men have to internalize their struggles, figure things out on their own, and keep moving forward. That's just the reality of being a man. At the end of the day, we know we can't win in this conversation. If we speak up, we're criticized. If we stay quiet, it's assumed we don't care or we're emotionally unavailable. The truth is, most men do care. We just don't have the luxury of turning our frustrations into a public dialogue without facing backlash. So we take the struggle in stride, get through it quietly, and keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, that's what's expected of us. She's literally sitting in her car, drowning in regret, about the guy she friend-zoned multiple times. The guy who, after all her games, finally recognized his worth and moved on. And honestly, she's not upset about losing him. She's upset that he no longer sees her as an option. Let's call it what it is. This isn't about love or realization. It's about control. For years, she had him on standby, stringing him along while keeping her real options open. He was the emotional backup, the guy she vented to, the one who always showed up when everyone else let her down. She didn't want him, but she loved the attention. But here's the twist. Men like that eventually wise up. They see their value. And when they finally decide to walk away, it's a wrap. And now, she's sitting there with her phone in her hand, probably about to send a "Hey, I've been thinking about you" text, hoping he'll fall back into line. Spoiler alert, he won't. The truth is, she's not regretting losing him. She's regretting losing the safety net. The guy who would have been over backward for her. The one who would have dropped everything to make her happy. That's what she's missing. And now that he's giving someone else the energy she took for granted, she's panicking. But here's the lesson for the fellas. Don't be that guy. Don't waste your time on someone who only sees your worth when it's convenient for them. If she couldn't recognize what you brought to the table from the beginning, she doesn't deserve a seat at it now. And to her, it's time to stop crying in the car and start reflecting. Maybe the problem wasn't him. Maybe the problem was you not knowing how to appreciate a good thing when you had it. Regret won't bring him back, and honestly, he's better off without you. Lesson learned, hopefully.